can actually write and report things accurately. So from Boston Magazine, Tuesday afternoon, a rather unusual bill will appear before Massachusetts Joint Committee on the Judiciary, a measure that would assign penalties to anyone who uses the word bitch to accost, annoy, degrade, or demean another human, another person. So, dog breeders are okay. Okay, you can go to the dog breeder and say, I'd like a bitch, please. You can bitch about what's going on in the Commonwealth, as we do frequently. But you cannot direct the word bitch at another human being. The bill proposes that a person who uses the word be deemed disorderly and face a $150 fine on a first offense and a $200 fine or 6 months or less in prison for additional offenses. These are the same consequences people face thanks to an earlier law, and the new bill is intended as an amendment to it. Now, the law in question is Massachusetts General Law Part 4, Section 53, which reads as follows. Section 53A, this defines who is subject to Part 4, Title 1, Chapter 272 of the Massachusetts General Laws, which basically says you can't sexually harass people, right? That's kind of where this is going. But anyway, this is what it says. Common nightwalkers, common streetwalkers, both male and female, persons who with offensive and disorderly acts or language accost or annoy another person, lewd, wanton, and lascivious persons in speech or behavior, also known as all the fun people, right? Keepers of noisy and disorderly houses. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. We know what they're talking about there. And persons guilty of indecent exposure. All right, those are the bad people. Those are the first actual bad people that I've heard about in this. Persons guilty of indecent exposure shall be punished by imprisonment in a jail or house of correction for not more than 6 months, or by a fine of not more than 200, or by both such fine and imprisonment. Theoretically, in addition to this list of common nightwalkers, common streetwalkers, both male and female, persons who with offensive and disorderly acts or language accost or annoy another person, lewd, wanton, and lascivious persons in speech or behavior, keepers of noisy and disorderly houses, persons guilty of indecent exposure, and those who call others bitch shall be punished by imprisonment. I'm not making this up, folks. Accusations, back to Boston, accusations of use of the word could either be reported by the person at whom the term was directed. He called me a bitch, Your Honor. Or by witnesses, the measure reads. I saw Mr. Doe call the defendant a... I saw Mr. Doe call that person a bitch. In fact, he called that person a little bitch and told them to stop bitching. The bill, filed by State Rep. Daniel Hunt in May, reportedly came at the request of an unidentified constituent. Now, look, I am all in favor of us having access to our state leaders, right? I wish I could call up my state rep and be like, hey, can you pass some legislation? Sure. What would you like? Legalize fireworks. Click. I'm not going to get that. But some unnamed constituent calls up Representative Daniel Hunt and says, hey, I want the word bitch banned. Okay, let me get right on that. Quote, anytime a constituent approaches me with something that is of concern to them, I follow through with it. I need to know this guy's district because I'm going to move over there and call him up and say I want legal fireworks. Hunt told the Boston Herald, quote, in this instance, someone asked me to file a bill that they deemed was important, and I thought it was a good exercise to let that bill go through the process. Can I remind you for a moment that we live in a state with crumbling infrastructure, with a significant heroin problem, with a significant homeless problem, with an affordable housing crisis, with a traffic congestion crisis, with public transit that doesn't work, with soaring healthcare costs. And Representative Hunt would like to see the bitch bill go through the process. We don't have time for that, Representative Hunt. Hunt did not immediately respond to a request for comment from Boston.com. The bill is meeting some skepticism, to say the least. It first received some public attention thanks to a tweet by the Mass GOP Twitter account, which has fixated on the measure for the past 24 hours. The tweet from the account implores conservatives to come to the State House for Tuesday's hearing to defend their freedom of speech. The account has also retweeted a number of posts mocking the bill. And this is from the Mass GOP. Do you believe free speech matters? Tired of Mass Dems dictating what you can say. Judiciary Committee will be taking this up tomorrow at 1 p.m. Come on down to the State House, rooms A1 and A2, first floor. Let them have it. This is from Conservative Not Crazy, the original tweet. Bay State considers bill banning the B word. Quote, welcome to Massachusetts, where thanks to nanny state liberals, life is a word you can't say publicly without breaking the law, reads a tweet by conservative pundit Michael Graham, shared by the Mass GOP account. According to legal experts, a bitch ban is pretty obviously unenforceable. Quote, this would last about 10 seconds in a court of law, says Northeastern law professor Michael Meltzner. It's preposterous that any elected official would think they could do this. Thank you, Professor Meltzner. Thank you for reminding us that there are still some sane people left in the world. There are, of course, legitimate reasons to limit harassment, which is what Hunt's bill seems to be aiming to do. But Meltzner says the means is all wrong. Harassment should be limited by conduct rather than the words used. While it cannot be anticipated what will happen at Tuesday's hearing, only that the meeting minutes might look a little more like Jay-Z lyrics than usual, a similar measure in New York City can perhaps give us a clue. In 2007, the New York City Council attempted a ban on bitch and ho, for good measure, inspired by the frequent use of the terms in popular music. The proposal was met with pushback from the community. Quote, hell, if I can't say bitch, I wouldn't be able to call half my friends, 31-year-old Darius James told the New York Times. And the council person who introduced the legislation eventually admitted that the ban was probably unenforceable. Now, what's interesting about this? First of all, this is a direct attack on your First Amendment rights by a state representative who should know better and who should have better things to do with his time, okay? When that constituent calls, what you say is, if you have a lot of problems with people calling you that word, maybe change your attitude. Don't call me and expect me to take everyone's rights away, because that's not how any of this works. That's not how the United States works. But what's interesting about this isn't standing legislation. This is an attempt to creep government censorship into an already existing law as an addendum and hope that nobody notices. It is patently unconstitutional. But we are not the only state that is involved in this kind of nonsense. New York can usually be called upon and relied upon, along with California, to do something stupid. And Fox News had this one. New York threatens up to $250,000 in fines, this is from September, for using terms like illegal alien and threatening to call ICE. New York City's Commission on Human Rights. This is an appointed group, by the way, that just sits around and dreams up new ways of stepping on your freedoms. New York City's Commission on Human Rights announced on Thursday that residents could face up to $250,000 in fines if they use terms such as illegal alien with intent to demean, humiliate, or harass a person. Quote, hate has no place here. A tweet from the city of New York read. Do you have any adults that you could put on this commission? Do you have any adults who will take this job and take it seriously? The city's announcement ticked off a list of offensive ways to address immigrants, including threatening to call Immigration and Customs Enforcement or harassing someone for their limited English proficiency. Quote, threatening to call ICE when motivated by discrimination, derogatory use of the term illegal alien, and discrimination based on limited English proficiency are unlawful discriminatory treatment under the New York City human rights law, the announcement read. It clarified that calling ICE with a discriminatory motive was a violation. It was not immediately clear what New York City would consider a call to ICE lacking in discriminatory motive. So this is the city of New York making it illegal to call you for you to call a federal agency. Okay? You call a federal agency to report illegal aliens, and they're going to turn around and slap you with a $250,000 fine. Patently illegal, patently unconstitutional. Thursday's announcement came as Democrats hammered the administration's immigration enforcement raids and cautioned against using the term illegal alien. The Associated Press has similarly admonished reporters for using illegal as a descriptor for immigrants. The Wire Service's 2013 style guide, I talked about this at the time, instead was updated to read, except in direct quotes essential to the story, use illegal only to refer to an action, not a person, illegal immigration, but not illegal immigrants. Acceptable variations include living in or entering a country illegally or without legal permission. But as Senator Ted Cruz, Texas Republican, pointed out, illegal alien is the term used under federal law. Let me read that to you again. As Senator Ted Cruz pointed out, illegal alien is the term used under federal law. It is a term of art, as that would be known in certain circles. That is the federal classification for people who are in this country illegally. All foreign citizens in the United States, regardless of their status, are labeled as aliens under federal law and have been forever. You may remember that we passed something many, many years ago called the Alien and Sedition Act. That is what people are called under federal law. An illegal alien is someone who is in this country without permission. Yeah, you could call him an unauthorized alien if you want. You could, the federal government can change it to be whatever it wants to be. Okay? Whatever they want it to be. You want to change alien to foreign national, you want to change alien to foreign citizen, or foreign-born individual, whatever you want to do. The federal government has guidance over that. Not the New York City Human Rights Council. Okay? If I call someone an illegal alien who is in this country illegally, that is a statement of fact. And if the New York City Council chooses to fine me $250,000, you better believe I'm retaining counsel. And I will countersue the New York City Human Rights Commission for $500,000, maybe $1 million. Pain and suffering, you know, emotional distress. You just find a lawyer who can pile some stuff on there. Unconstitutional. They are denying the existence of a term that has existed in federal law for 200 years. That's the game that they're playing. Because they don't like the way it's... Because they don't want to admit what's going on. Right? We don't want anyone to get hurt. We don't want anyone to be upset. Now, I appreciate the intent of the New York City Human Rights Commission. I appreciate the intent of Representative Hunt and his bitch bill, okay? It would be wonderful if people would stop using derogatory terms to address each other. We would be a lot happier. We would have a nicer society. We would have nicer communities if people would stop doing that. The point is, there are already laws on the books that make that behavior illegal. It is illegal to harass somebody. That's assault, okay? It is illegal for me to get in someone's face and start calling them names. That's assault. That's disorderly conduct. Under some circumstances, that might be classified as mayhem. It's what Antifa does, by the way, when they show up at protests. They engage in illegal behavior and illegal harassment. We don't need a new law. And what we certainly don't need is city and state governments telling us what words we can and cannot use. Okay, this Massachusetts law that they're trying to, shove the word bitch into, basically exists to criminalize solicitation and prostitution. That's what it is. Okay, and they say at the very beginning, common streetwalkers, right, male and female. If you're out hustling, and you're using adult saucy language to describe the services that you offer, you're going to go to jail for that, okay? If you're walking around with your pants off, yeah, you're going to jail. We know that anyway. If you are running a house of ill repute that is loud and disorderly, you're going to get arrested. We don't need any additional legislation targeting specific words, and we don't want to go down that route because that, my friends, is the gateway to government censorship of everything. That is how we become less like the United States and more like South American countries, where you get shot if you say the wrong thing. And if you don't think it can happen here, you're not paying attention, because it absolutely can happen here. We could wind up like the United Kingdom overnight, where if you say the wrong thing about somebody, you are fined out of existence. Or you are thrown in jail because you upset somebody with your speech. We don't live in that country, and we are happy that we don't live in that country. And we want to continue living in that country. And the only way that you continue living in that country is to be vigilant about nonsense like this. Okay? Not only is this Massachusetts, I don't care what happens in New York City, because I don't pay taxes there. Okay? You want to pass laws that are going to get you taken to the Supreme Court and are going to get you sued. Your money, you do what you want with it. Massachusetts, I have a bigger problem with this because those are my tax dollars, right? So if this bill that would criminalize use of the word bitch ever was passed, you better believe the lawsuits are coming out the next day. And then the state has to defend it. Right? We're going to take it all the way to the Supreme Court. Well, how much money is that going to cost? How much time are we wasting on this? Okay? Representative Hunt knows that that's going to be the outcome. And he would do well to withdraw his legislation. He won't, now that it's out there, even with everybody making fun of him and telling him to stop bitching. He won't. It's out there. You got to double down. That's the society we live in. No one can ever admit that they're wrong. Right? So if this thing passes, yep, there goes more of our tax money down a hole as the infrastructure continues to crumble, as housing continues to be unaffordable, as heroin continues to claim lives, on and on and on. But there is more. Because it's not just, this apparently is like an infection spreading across the Northeast. From CBS News, not CBS Boston, not the joke local outlet, but the actual national, still good news source. Two UConn students charged after allegedly shouting racial slur. And this falls into the same category as everything else I'm talking about. Only this one happens to star some unsympathetic protagonists. Two University of Connecticut students have been charged with shouting a racial slur outside a campus apartment complex in an episode that was caught on video and has led to protests at the school. Jared Corral of Plainville and Ryan Musage of Granby were both identified by police as 21-year-old white men. CBS felt the need to include their race in this. We can imagine what the... I don't need to tell you what the slur is. It's a word that begins with N that is offensive to black people. Right? But they need to include that they were white men. Presumably, because if two black men were walking down the street yelling that word, that'd be okay. Right? Because we have to buy into this hypocritical double standard. Oh, that it's a crime if one person says it, and it's not a crime if another person says it. No. That's not how society works. One set of rules for everybody. Okay, if you're out in the street and you're yelling racial slurs, I don't care what your skin color is. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care where you come from. That's disorderly conduct. You are creating a public nuisance, and you should be arrested and perhaps prosecuted. But the fact that CBS feels the need to include that they are white men tells you immediately where this story is going. Karell and Musaj were charged Monday with ridicule on account of creed, religion, color, denomination, nationality, or race. Sounds serious. The charge is a misdemeanor that carries a possible sentence of up to a year in prison. Phone and email messages were left for the two students, who CBS will remind you are white men, who were due in court October 30th. It was not clear Tuesday whether they had lawyers to speak for them. So we don't know if the lawyers are white men or not. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. I'm sure CBS will fill us in on that detail. Police believe the young men were among three people seen on the video walking through the parking lot of UConn's Charter Oak apartment complex. It is not UConn's. It is an off-campus apartment complex. It is adjacent to the UConn campus. So they were walking through the parking lot of Charter Oak apartment complex October 11th. Two of the three used the racial slur several times and laugh, police said. Quote, the investigation showed that the males walked back through the apartment complex after leaving a local business and played a game in which they yelled vulgar words, according to the police report. As they walked through the parking lot, Musaj and Karell switched to saying a racial epithet that was heard by witnesses. The investigation revealed the third male did not participate. Now, local Connecticut media described what these guys were doing. These three young men, who are idiots, okay, are coming home from a bar after closing time, and because they're bored, they're playing this game where everybody has to yell the word penis, right? And if you refuse to use the word penis, you lose. If you refuse to yell penis, you lose. Right? And they're walking through a parking lot surrounded by buildings, and they're doing this so that they can hear their voices echo off the buildings. They are drunk and disorderly. They are annoying people, okay? At some point, they decide to shift from yelling the word penis to yelling the N-word, which is incredibly stupid. Now, in this case, the person who refused to yell that lost the game, but also didn't get arrested. So apparently losing this game makes you the winner. Karell told police the group was playing a game in which they would yell the word penis. The first person who refuses loses, he said. They decided to change the game to shouting the racial epithet. Quote, I like Jared Karell. I sincerely apologize if we offended anyone, he told police, according to the affidavit. Quote, this was not our intentions at all. We were acting dumb, idiotic, and childish. Yes, Jared Karell, you were acting dumb, idiotic, and childish, and you owned it. Let him off with probation. Let him go. Make him do some community service if you feel the need for that. Let him go. He understands what he did. He's remorseful. This is what probation is for, okay? If you will put your hand up and say, I am an idiot, and I did an idiotic thing, I have tremendous admiration and respect for you, because that's become rare today. Meanwhile, Musaj told police he had 7 drinks at a local bar that night and did not remember the episode, according to an arrest affidavit. If this is true, Mr. Musaj, you need to go get counseling immediately. And I suspect if you don't do that voluntarily, it will be court ordered on your behalf. If you are in your 20s and you get blackout drunk and you don't remember what you did, or you don't remember in the morning what happened the night before, or you don't know where you are when you wake up, or you don't know who's in bed next to you when you wake up, you need to get help. And I say this to everyone, not just Ryan Musaj, everyone. That is not normal. You have a problem with alcohol. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Okay, it doesn't mean you're. I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm not saying this to criticize you. I'm saying you have a problem. Okay, if you wake up once and you don't know what happened the night before, you need to go talk to somebody. because sooner or later, that could get you into a lot of trouble. Sooner or later, you may wake up and find out that you killed somebody. Sooner or later, you may wake up and find out that you've got a disease or that you harmed somebody. Nothing good is ever going to come from that. So if that's something that's happening, if he's, I have no reason to disbelieve this guy. He could be lying to the cops, say, oh, I had a lot of beers, I don't know what we were doing, thinking that that's going to get him off the hook. But if this is true, if he had seven beers and blacked out, doesn't know what he's doing, all right? If anybody's doing that, you go talk to somebody. Go see a doctor. Go see a behavioral health specialist and explain that to them. Because you have a problem. Doesn't mean you can't ever drink. It means you need to understand how your body reacts to alcohol, and you need to know your limit. This guy's clearly over the limit. So these guys are walking home from a bar at 2 in the morning, screaming the N-word because they're bored while they're walking home. That's what happened, okay? If they weren't white, would we be talking about this? If it was black guys doing this, would we be talking about this? If it was Asian guys doing this, maybe we'd be talking about it. If it was Latino guys doing this, would we be talking about it? If it was women doing this, would we be talking about it? On Monday, student organizations and the school's chapter of the NAACP held a rally and march against racism across campus in response to the slurs and another situation in which a student said she was the target of a racial slur at a party. UConn President Thomas Katsioulis, who attended the rally, issued a statement in support of the arrests. Quote, it is supportive of our core values to pursue accountability through due process for an egregious assault on our community. They're walking home drunk, screaming at each other. This isn't an assault on the community. This is stupid drunk people. We don't need to roll out the protest march. We don't need an official statement from the university. Katsioulis has scheduled office hours Friday at the school's African American Cultural Center to meet with students who may wish to talk with him. He also has announced a nationwide search for a chief diversity officer at the school. I mean, come on. A couple of drunk guys walking home think it's funny to yell the N-word at each other. And now, boom, they're going to jail. There's protests on the campus. People are walking around saying, I don't feel safe. This is the original story on this from Campus Reform, which offers up a couple of more details. The video prompted the UConn NAACP chapter because somebody recorded this out of one of the apartment windows. And it was an African-American student who recorded this, actually. The video prompted the UConn NAACP chapter to pen a letter to the editor of the campus newspaper, the Daily Campus, calling on officials to fully investigate this incident and apply the proper justice. Okay, arrest them for drunk and disorderly behavior. Make them pick up empties for a couple of weekends. That's what you do with drunks. Following those calls, the university confirmed to Campus Reform Monday that two of the three men allegedly seen in the video were arrested under a Connecticut state statute that makes it a crime to ridicule certain persons. Quote, any person who, by his advertisement, ridicules or holds up to contempt any person or class of persons on account of the creed, religion, color, denomination, nationality, or race of such person or class of persons shall be guilty of a Class D misdemeanor. That statute is unconstitutional. Just like the bitch ban that's pending in Boston. Just like the New York Council on Human Rights saying you can't use the word illegal alien. UConn spokesman Stephanie Reitz confirmed in a statement to Campus Reform the arrest of the men who were, quote, heard shouting a racial slur. The two students both were charged under CGS 5337, ridicule on account of creed, religion, color, denomination, nationality, or race. Did not play the game and was not arrested. And this, by the way, they were arrested because of the video. Oh, and of course, the video goes viral. right? So everybody on the internet is all up arms about this. Setting aside that this Connecticut law is unconstitutional and should be challenged and should be thrown out, this isn't even the right application of the law. These guys aren't tight. Here's what the law says. Any person who ridicules or holds up to contempt, any person or class of persons, who are they ridiculing? They're walking down the street yelling the N-word because they're drunk and bored. It's not directed at anybody. Now, a prosecutor may make the argument that they should have reasonably expected that somebody would be offended by this. Well, you know what? They should reasonably have expected that someone would be offended by them yelling the word penis. This is not the way that law is meant to work. This is not the right reason to arrest these guys. They are drunk and disorderly. Prosecute them for being drunk and disorderly. There's no hate crime here, okay? As one of them said, I'm an idiot. They're idiots. If we start throwing the idiots in America in jail, we're going to have full jails and nobody left to do anything. You have a right, a constitutional right, to be an idiot in the United States of America. It's guaranteed. Until state legislatures come along and they say, oh no, you can't say this word, you can't say that word. Yes, you can. You absolutely can say those words. Now, what they count on is that no one's going to find out about it. No one's going to fight back, right? They count on being able to fine people and prosecute people without those people going out and getting constitutional lawyers and saying, hey, this law is a steaming pile of horse shirts. This is a real horse shirt of a law that you've passed here in Connecticut. And this arrest is ridiculous, okay? Fine these clowns, put them on probation, make them clean up the campus. There is no hate crime here. A couple of drunk idiots walking down the street yelling the N-word to hear their voices echo off a building is not a hate crime. If there was a black person there that they are targeting, then yes. All right. In that case, I understand that law. But even still, you would have the question of whether or not that law is even constitutional. And the reality is, probably is not. It probably is not. Because the government cannot abridge our speech. And if I want to walk down the street calling people the N-word, I have a constitutional right to do that. And again, I wish people would stop doing that. I would like to see all of this go. I would like to see all this bad language and harassment go away. It's needless. You know, here in Massachusetts, we've reduced it to a single finger. And I've mentioned that I would like to see the finger, the expression of the single middle finger in Massachusetts. I think that should be labeled a hate crime. The problem is, again, everyone would be in jail and there'd be no one left to get anything done. On the plus side, you get rid of all the congestion on the highway. So it's kind of a mixed bag if we go that route. The government has zero obligation to protect you from words you don't want to hear. Not their job. Okay? Not their job. And we don't need to make up new laws to prosecute drunk people for yelling the N-word when we already have laws to prosecute drunk people for being loud and disorderly. And that's what these guys were. This is a disorderly conduct case. And it should be treated as such. They're not targeting anybody. They're not walking down the street saying, hey, there's a black person. Let's yell the N-word at them. Then you've got intent. There's no intent here. They're just sitting around like, what's the most offensive word that we can think to yell? And they happen to yell the N-word. And a black person hears it and says, oh, no, I'm targeted. There's one story I read where some campus activist was talking about how frightened the black population on campus was. Please. I will accept that you're frightened. Okay? I understand you're a millennial. You grew up in a climate of fear. Everything frightens you. But don't presume to speak for everybody. Don't infantilize everybody. And say that two drunk white guys walking down the street yelling the N-word just to hear their own voices, somehow amounts to an act of terror and aggression against the black community at a Connecticut college. It doesn't. Crazy time. And the crazy gets worse. Oh boy, does it get worse. This was as I said, it's been a slow news cycle. And so apparently everybody is just taking advantage of this opportunity to dial up the crazy. When I read this story last week, I could not believe the words that were appearing in front of me. I literally could not believe the words in front of me. The original story that I wrote, that I read, I don't think it was that one. There's two here. That's that one. Both of these look the same. I promised I wasn't going to talk about the election prior to November, and we're almost there. So I have to break that because we're in a whole different realm of crazy now with this. I expect a certain level of crazy from city councils and state legislatures because inevitably you're going to get some people who get elected to those offices who really don't, you know, they're well-meaning. They're well-intentioned. They really don't know what they're doing. And you can get away with that in a local level. You can't at a national. But then we have this. This is an entirely new dimension of insanity. And this, the initial story comes out of the Washington Examiner. Not a good source, generally speaking. I do not recommend that you get your news from them. But straight facts, they have their straight facts correct in this. And this was the story that sort of broke all of this. Hillary Clinton said that Representative Tulsi Gabbard, for those who don't know, is a representative from Hawaii. She is a woman of color. She is a decorated U.S. veteran who served as a nurse in the Middle East and received multiple decorations during her time over there. She was subsequently elected to the House of Representatives from Florida, or from Hawaii, excuse me. She is also one of the people that uncovered the Democratic National Committee's machinations against Bernie Sanders in the 2016 election. Tulsi Gabbard, back in 2016, was a rising star of the Democrat Party because she was a veteran woman of color, a decorated war veteran woman of color. Here is the diversity, right? They talk about diversity all the time. Oh, we need diversity. We need more women. We need more people of color. And here comes Tulsi Gabbard. And they all sit around, they're like, oh my God, Tulsi Gabbard, this is exactly what we're looking for. People like her. She's sensible. She checks off all the boxes for us. Yes, let's support Tulsi Gabbard. They elevate her to the highest levels of the Democratic National Committee. And what does she find out? She finds out they are stacking the deck against Bernie Sanders. And she does the right thing. She goes public with it and she calls them out. And she helped to bring down Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Well, turns out you can be a veteran. You can be a decorated veteran. You can be a woman of color. But if you don't say the right things, if you don't put forward the right message, if you don't do what we tell you to do, it's all over. And we get to this. Hillary Clinton said that Representative Tulsi Gabbard is being groomed by Moscow to run as a third-party spoiler candidate in 2020 to help President Trump win re-election. Okay, it's the Washington Examiner. They're making this up, right? The former Secretary of State pushed the theory on Campaign HQ podcast hosted by David Plouffe, President Barack Obama's campaign manager, in 2008. Plouffe and Clinton discussed hurdles the Democratic nominee would face and compared the 2020 race to Clinton's loss to Trump in 2016. Plouffe asked Clinton about the part third-party candidates such as Jill Stein of the Green Party played in 2016, allowing Trump to secure key states. These are Hillary Clinton's exact words from the podcast. You can go look up the podcast and hear it for yourself. Quote, "They are also going to do third party again. I'm not making any predictions, but I think they've got their eye on somebody who is currently in the Democratic primary and are grooming her, there's only one her really left in the primaries, to be the third party candidate, Clinton said, referring to Gabbard, without mentioning the Hawaii representative by name. Quote, she is a favorite of the Russians. They have a bunch of sites and bots and other ways of supporting her so far. That's assuming Jill Stein will give it up, which she might not because she is also a Russian asset. They know they can't win without a third-party candidate, and so I do not know who it is going to be, but I can guarantee you they will have a vigorous third-party challenge in the key states that they most need it. Congratulations, Jill Stein. I had no idea you were a... Jill Stein's local, by the way. I've met Jill Stein. I had no idea that she was a Russian asset. I thought she was just a progressive Green Party activist, you know, who's really hardcore on environmental issues. Turns out, she's a Russian. She's a Russian asset. So is Tulsi Gabbard, according to Hillary Clinton. Well, Tulsi, to her credit, decided that she was not going to take this sitting down. From Mediaite, Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard fired back this afternoon at Hillary Clinton over comments she made suggesting the Hawaii Congresswoman and 2020 candidate is being groomed by the Russians. When asked by NBC News, so NBC News asked the Clinton campaign, hey, what are you talking about here? Is she suggesting that Tulsi Gabbard is a Russian agent? Is that what you're doing here? A spokesman for the Clinton campaign had this to say once the ads get off the page. A Clinton spokesperson responded, if the nesting doll fits. So NBC asks specifically, you're talking about Gabbard, and a Clinton spokesperson, probably Huma Abedin, who knows, whoever they can get on the phone says, if the nesting doll fits. Oh, aren't they clever? Gabbard responded this afternoon. Oh, boy. Yeah, with a tweet that is brilliant. It's from Tulsi Gabbard. Great. Thank you, at Hillary Clinton. You, the queen of warmongers, embodiment of corruption, and personification of the rot that has sickened the Democratic Party for so long, have finally come out from behind the curtain. From the day I have announced my candidacy, there has been a concerted campaign to destroy my reputation. We wondered who was behind it and why. Now we know it was always you, through your proxies and powerful allies in the corporate media and war machine, afraid of the threat I pose. It's now clear that this primary is between you and me. Don't cowardly hide behind your proxies. Join the race directly. To which the Clinton camp responded, divisive language filled with vitriol and conspiracy theories. Can't imagine a better proof point than this. And then they refer back to the Russian story. So this is the Clinton campaign's answer. She defended herself, therefore she must be a Russian agent. This is insane. This is completely insane. This is the, if you want, emeritus leader of the Democratic Party calling a woman, who, by the way, is a woman who is the emeritus head of the Democratic Party, calling another woman who is running somewhat successfully for president a Russian agent. Because it's the Russians again. This is the only thing that the Clinton campaign has. Russians. There's Russians everywhere. Oh, and Jill Stein, she's a Russian agent too. You begin to see how desperate and despicable people in the Clinton orbit are. Because that is desperate. That is despicable. To accuse a fellow American, first of all, let alone a public servant, a decorated war veteran, of treason. That's what you've done. You have accused Jill Stein and Tulsi Gabbard of treason. Why? Because they're not the right kind of person. They're not who you want in the White House. You want Joe Biden in the White House because Joe Biden will play ball. Well, guess what? Crazy time. Crazy things happen. Van Jones. I happen to like Van Jones. in general. Van Jones is a really smart guy. And Van Jones knows his history. And Van Jones knows what he's talking about. But Van Jones, like Rachel Maddow, also very smart. Not going to take anything away from her. They both will sell out what they know to play an audience. And I have a hard time respecting that. I understand it's the game you're in. I understand that's what keeps you on the air. Okay? But when you sell yourself short, just for the sake of winning an audience, when you betray things that you know, when you reach false conclusions that I know you recognize are false conclusions, because it will pump up an audience, I have a problem with that. But here's what Van Jones had to say. Quote, she is Hillary Clinton. He said this on CNN, by the way. She's a legend. She's going to be in the history books. She's a former nominee of our party, and she just came out against a sitting U.S. congresswoman, a decorated war veteran, and somebody who's running for the nomination of our party with just a complete smear and no facts. I do not want somebody of her stature to legitimate these attacks against anybody. If you've got real evidence, come forward with it. But if you're just going to smear people casually on podcasts, you are playing right into the Russians' hands. Good for you, Van Jones. Because one thing that tells me is that there is a point where Van Jones says, okay, the crazy has gone too far. And this is crazy. And this is insane. And this is a ridiculous conspiracy theory. And this is unacceptable. But this tells you a little bit about Hillary Clinton, and tells you a little bit about the Democrats, tells you a little bit about what's going on there. The main thing it tells you is that no matter where you look, the good guys are in short supply. All in Tell Mikey D, coming your way in about 13 minutes. One song, my favorite thing from the past week, and the strangest thing from the past week before we go here on WMFO Medford.
The old mad witch, and she's a-riding me. I felt a bit surge in my mouth, and froth from it did flow. The lather across my sweated back was white as any snow. Devil's wife, the old mad witch, she used to ride a broom. Now every night she leaves the earth and rides me to the moon. Devil's wife, the old mad witch, and she's a-riding me. There she makes a devil sign, waves her magic wand. He throws open fire gates and tells her to ride on. Saw the burning brimstone, saw the fire cave. Every soul that burns therein was branded a devil's slave. Who you want, you need? The devil's wife, the old mad witch, and she's a-riding me. We headed back to earth again, these words I heard her say. Your soul belongs to the devil, man, you can never change your way. Saw the burning brimstone, saw the fiery cave. Know that I'm the devil's wife, and I'll ride you to your grave.
Will you, will you be?
Devil's wife, the old mad witch, and she's a-riding me. I felt a bit surge in my mouth, and froth from it did flow. The lather across my sweated back was white as any snow. Devil's wife, the old mad witch, she used to ride a broom. Now every night she leaves the earth and rides me to the moon.
Will you, will you be?
Devil's wife, the old mad witch, and she's a-riding me. We headed back to earth again, these words I heard her say. Your soul belongs to the devil, man, you can never change your ways. You saw the burning brimstone, saw the fiery cave. You know that I'm the devil's wife, and I'll ride you to your grave. Devil's wife, the old mad witch, and she's a-riding me. Devil's wife, the old mad witch, and she's a-riding me. Devil's wife, the old mad witch, and she's a-riding me.
When was the last time you were scared out of your wits by a movie? Halloween, the motion picture about the most terrifying night of the year. Halloween, the night three teenage girls discover the real trick is to stay alive.
Tommy, it's me!
Halloween, the night he came home. From Compass International Pictures, rated R.
Everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
MFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is the big picture. Derek Gary with you until 9 minutes from now. And then on the tail, Mikey D will be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Don't forget, live music day coming up this Saturday, October 26th. Live bands in the studio all day long. I see that my dear friends, Sweet Wednesday, are going to be kicking that off at 10 in the morning. After the two songwriter circles. You will find the full schedule on WMFO.org. Check that out. Tune it in. Catch some great local music. It will make a huge difference in your life. So that's part of what's hot. WMFO Live Music Day, yeah, that's super hot. You want to check that out. All you got to do is, like, sit at home and turn on your radio and turn on your favorite streaming device, your laptop or what have you, and you can enjoy this. But there are a couple of others, shout-outs, that I have to give. One to the Rose Wharf Bar at the Boston Harbor Hotel, which has found itself in some very elite company. The bar was rated one of the world's best hotel bars by Forbes Travel Guide. There are only 44 bars in the world that get this honor. There are only 11 in the United States that get this honor. Forbes was impressed with the bar's ambience, its carefully crafted cocktails, and its selection of scotch. So this is the Rose Wharf Bar at the Boston Harbor Hotel. If you find yourself having to go to Faneuil Hall, someone drags you there this holiday season to do some shopping, you can nip over there and get some scotch. Now bring money, because that ain't going to be cheap. But one of the best hotel bars in the world, right downtown, right on the waterfront, Rose Wharf Bar at the Boston Harbor Hotel. Congratulations on that. Go check that out. If you had something like something a little more affordable, congratulations to the Natick Mall, whose bathroom has been named the second best in America's Best Bathroom Contest. This is issued by Cintas. Cintas, they're the ones that supply people to clean and maintain everything. But they've been doing this thing since 2002. Where they named the best bathroom in America. And the Natick Mall came in second. As they said, the Natick Mall restrooms include a waiting room with a chandelier centered above. They feature makeup stations, two private changing and nursing rooms with a lounge chair and outlets. Each stall also includes a marble shelf to hold your bag. So that's pretty cool. They came in second behind the Nashville Zoo. If you go to the public restroom at the Nashville Zoo, they've got floor-to-ceiling glass windows where visitors can see monkeys and snakes. Because nothing makes you want to go to the bathroom like the sight of a snake watching you. But hey, anybody, you can go down to the Natick Mall and check out their bathroom. Won't cost you anything. This is the one outside of Nordstrom's. I don't know if it's on the first or second floor. I think this is the one on the first floor. But one of the second best restroom in America. It's right here in Natick at the Natick Mall. They got the sushi go round down there too, where the food just sort of travels past you on a conveyor belt and you grab what you want. Great place to go this holiday season. So another reason to check out the Natick Mall. Be sure to hit the bathrooms next time you stop in. And we end every week with That's a Thing That Happened, the strangest story from the past week, Alabama. This is not how you get arrested. April Teal is 24. One of her parents is a teacher, yet she apparently is not old enough to know better. While getting arrested outside a Waffle House in Tuscaloosa, Tennessee, Teal decided to grind her rear end against the arresting officer while moaning, "Oh yeah, you like that, you like that, right." Teal now faces misdemeanor harassment and disorderly conduct charges. Video of her arrest has gone viral, and in true millennial style, she's asking for Venmo donations to pay her legal costs. No word on whether you get a lap dance with that donation, or if those are only for the cops. Do not grind against the police officer saying, oh yeah, you like that, because then you are definitely going to jail. And I'm sure her parents are incredibly proud. A programming note for next week. I will be coming in at 5 o'clock and continuing something of a WMFO tradition. Every year around this time, I try and put together a Halloween show. Next Wednesday is, of course, Halloween-een. Halloween Eve, the night before Halloween, Christmas. No, the night before Halloween. It's Halloween-een. We will be celebrating Halloween-een with 4 hours of spooky music, strange promotional materials, spooky cuts for radio, all kinds of things to put you into a Halloween mood. So check that out. That's going to be next week starting at 5 o'clock. We'll go from 5 to 9. There is no big picture next week. The big picture will be off next week. It will be a 4-hour spooky, spectacular Halloween broadcast. And if you've heard this show in the past, you know I got a pretty exceptional collection of Halloween music, including great music from horror movies, great commercials for horror movies, all kinds of things about horror movies. I will be playing that song that I played just a little bit ago. That was Mad Witch by Dave Gardner. And one of the things that I absolutely adore about that song is if you listen to it, you can hear rock and roll coming. That is one of those songs that just sort of put us on a path to rock and roll. So that's going to be next Wednesday night, October 30th, 4 hours with me. I'm going to miss Pokemon Community Day. Well, they'll live without me. 5 to 9 o'clock, Halloween, spooky music all next week. Children's safe. Kids like to be scared. So they can tune in. We'll have some cuts early on in the show just for the kids. And then it will get spookier and darker as the night goes on. Before I throw over to On the Town with Mikey D, a reminder, this Saturday, WMFO Live Music Day. If you like live music, all you got to do, wake up, turn on your radio, turn on your laptop, turn on your streaming device, say, hey, Alexa, WMFO Live Music Day. You got to say something to get MFO off of Alexa, but I'm sure there's a way to do it. Live music all day. And it starts at 8 a.m. from 8 to 9. Songwriter Circle with Samantha Farrell, Katie Dobbins, Frank Rowe. 9 to 10, Songwriter Circle with Vicky Porter, Gary Modello, Jenny Halstead. 10 o'clock to 10:40, my dear friend Sweet Wednesday, who I have to get back on this show at some point, by the way. But from 10 a.m. to 10:40, my dear friends Sweet Wednesday are going to be live on the air. 10:40 to 11:20, Randy Block. 11:20 to noon, if we go at all. Noon to 12:40, Lanny Newman. 12:40 to 1:20, State of the Union. 1:20 to 2, Sarah Levesque. 2 to 2:40, Bird Mancini. 2:40 to 3:20, Carissa Johnson. 3:20 to 4, Adam Sherman, sorry, this font that they printed this in, my God. 4 to 4:40, Katie Dobbins. 4:40 to 5:20, Bad Marriage. And 5:20 to 6 o'clock, The Cast Irons with Maverick. That is this Saturday, live music all day. All times are relative, by the way. The last time we did this, moving bands in and out proved to be a little bit of a challenge. It may be worth tuning in just to hear all of the fun going on in the station around this event. But this is going to be a great time. Great chance to hear a lot of local bands, a lot of local music. If you love On the Town with Mikey D, if you love the Boston music scene, if you like all the different aspects of the Boston music scene, tune in this Saturday. It costs you nothing. Nothing but time. And time that you will spend enriching yourself and maybe finding a new band to love that you never heard before. I know personally, I'm here. I'm tuning in for my dear friends, Sweet Wednesday, who are still my dear friends, by the way, even though we never seem to get together. That is all the time that we have for this week. Don't forget, spooky, spooky music next Wednesday night. Until then, stay safe, everybody.